Good evening and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash will return next week. And we are going to now look at the national mobilization against sweatshops, the boycott of Liberty Apparel. Garment workers toiled in one of Liberty's factories in New York City 14 hours a day at $3 an hour. Well, the en masse Ain't I a Woman campaign is launching a national boycott to demand that Liberty be held accountable for their subcontracted workers living and working in poverty. And instead of having just general interviews, we've got half of the movement in our studio with us. And I'd like to welcome Joan Charles, who is a member of the National Mobilization Against Sweatshops and a home care attendant. It's lovely to have you with us this evening. And Kara Newton, who is an en masse organizer, and Ling Nan, a plaintiff in Zeng versus Liberty Apparel, and Anna Kung, an organizer from the Chinese Staff and Workers Association, and we're going to be doing some translating from Mandarin. If you know Mandarin, you can listen to the Mandarin. If not, we have a wonderful translator with us. And my dear sisters, good evening and welcome to Building Bridges.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Why don't we start by just a very brief history of the enormous accomplishments, really, of en masse?
The National Mobilization Against Sweatshops is a worker center. We have offices in Brooklyn and Manhattan. And we have come together, actually, to organize all different kinds of working people from different trades and different communities with the realization that sweatshop conditions are increasingly prevalent throughout different communities and are not just subject to Chinese or Latina communities, but are spreading different other communities, both geographic and ethnic communities, as well as different trades such as the home healthcare industry, restaurant industry, construction industry, and that these sweatshop conditions are increasingly prevalent in the United States, and we want to come together to find a connection between one another, even though we're coming from different communities to fight these conditions.
Why don't we jump straight into the Ain't I a Woman campaign, of course, a comment of Sojourner's Truth. Why don't we discuss how the project got the name Ain't I a Woman and exactly what the nature of that project is. Do you want to take that or?
Yeah, I think Carol can explain.
Okay.
The Ain't I a Woman campaign actually was born out of a struggle of Chinese and Latina garment workers who were actually toiling under sweatshop conditions in Midtown Manhattan, making very high-priced garments for DKNY. And many of these garment workers were predominantly women, and talked a lot about how that when they would go work on the many hours in the garment factories, they would leave their children behind. And as women, they felt that, that they weren't recognized for the work that they were doing in the home, taking care of their children. And as low-income immigrant women, the mainstream women's movement had left them behind. And so we started the Ain't I a Woman campaign as an effort to launch a new kind of women's movement that brought all different kinds of working women together in the recognition of the work that many women are doing at home, as well as the work that then they have to do when they go outside of the home. They're typically low-income and discriminated against as working women.
Now, what you're hearing in the background is a little bit of translation, so let's actually bring Ling Nan into the discussion now. Ling Nan had begun, I believe, to work as a garment worker at the age of 17 and has been there for many years now and is a plaintiff in the suit against Liberty Apparel. And maybe Ling Nan can describe for us what her life was like, what the conditions she faced in the garment work are. And why don't you can talk straight into both of you, translator as well. And by the way, how could we not get the name of our translator?
Oh, my name's Wei Chen.
Wei Chen, you can talk straight into the mic there, and if we can just find out what it was like for Ling Nan working. You can
you can.
你在一场工作的情况是怎么样？
我在一场是脊椎最大的一场做工。
I started to work in the garment factory when I was 17.
在一场做工每一天工作14小时。
And I worked in the subcontracted factory 14 hours a day.
每一周工作7天。
7 days a week.
但是每一个小时只有3块钱。
But I was making $3 an hour.
但是利布提的老板天天催我们赶衣。
And Liberty, as a manufacturer, they actually have staff coming to our factory every day to rush us, you know, always endless order.
他不顾我们的工人的死活。
They never cared about how long that we were working.
但是他现在欠我们工人的20几万。
But, 想一想那工厂的怎么样？
工厂的生活呢，空气不好，很烟土。
And in the factory, there was no ventilation. There's no air conditioning.
很肮脏。
And it's also very dirty.
没有冷气。
In the hot summer day, we were sweating. There's no air conditioning.
没有休息的时间。
There was no break time.
吃饭只有十分钟。
And we only could eat our lunch for 10 minutes.
但是我们现在要利弗提负责赔偿这个我们的血汗钱。
But we want to make sure that Liberty is accountable to our working conditions and to pay the old money that basically they stole from us.
这是我们的工人的血汗钱。
Because this money is it's hard-earned blood and sweat money.
但是他是拖到等一下但是他拖到现在5年了，我们一分钱还没有拿到。
However, our case has been going on for more than 5 years, and we still have not received a penny.
One of the things that we should describe is how you became involved in the lawsuit, because it's very frightening, and how people.Get involved and how they organize despite their fear is very important. So if you could ask Ling Nong, what made her get involved? How did she overcome her fears to become a plaintiff in a lawsuit?
这就是我们的自己的血汗钱，我们属于要站出来争取我们自己的血汗钱。
Because we were fighting for our blood and sweat money, and that was a main push.你怎么样克服那个困难呢？会不会很担心？
也很担心，但是我们为了生活嘛，我们自己还租有了，没有钱交，去人家里借钱。
We had to come out because we were owed months and months wages, and to make a living, to survive, to raise my families, I need to stand up for myself.
后来我结婚的时候，现在孩子我都不想着孩子抱回大陆去，但是为了生活我把孩子抱回大陆去。
I actually got married after working in the garment factories for a while, and to stay in the United States, I actually had to send my baby back to China. This is how I need to survive. So for my baby, for my families, for myself, I had to come out. I had to stand up.
Well, she's a very courageous sister, and that's just a small indication of what it's like in the garment industry of this city. And Anna, you also are an organizer from the Chinese Staff and Worker Association. What drove you to become an organizer and to deal with sisters like Ling Nan? Why this form of political activity?
My family is from China as well, and my mom also is a garment worker, so this is kind of a personal thing for me. But also, I mean, more and more people my age are working as long-term temps, and more of us are facing the same conditions. I mean, I have friends who work 60 hours a week as a temp, but don't get overtime. I mean, there are many, it's not just something that's happening in the garment industry anymore. It's just something that's happening throughout the country, regardless of, gender, your social status, regardless of the industry. So for me, this is something very personal. And, Liberty, in particular, is just you know, horrible. I mean, it's been 5 years and they refuse to pay, whereas other companies such as, you know, DKNY, Street Beat Sportswear, after a few years, they pay the workers. But Liberty, you know, refuses to, and they're dragging this out, and they're hoping that the workers will get disappointed and they'll give up, you know, but they're not going to give up. And for me, this is something like, well, by not paying them, they're trying to change, you know, all, like they're trying to take away all the efforts that workers have made in the last 10 years. You know, they're really trying to change this, you know, the way that manufacturers are held accountable. So for me, this is not just, you know, I know I'm not just doing this because my mom's a garment worker. I'm doing this for myself because I don't want to have to, like, have my kids come out and work and then they will have to be subcontracted. And then, you know, it's something that happens to more and more people now.
And Joan, you are a home care attendant, another arduous, difficult job, another form of sweated labor. What caused you to involve yourself in the national mobilization against sweatshops and to be a supporter of this Ain't I a Woman campaign?
Well, I came to this country was to better myself. I become a home attendant, and it was very hard for me to work in, you know, home where I never been before, sleeping in 24/7, and the condition was very, very bad because I couldn't go to the bathroom without asking permission, or they would stand at the door and waiting or looking or asking, what are you doing in the bathroom? So it's like Liberty and home attendant actually is the same thing, because we work long hours, we get less pay, we treat it like slavery, and at the meantime, I have a lot of work to do. I had to clean, wash, cook, take the client to the doctor, otherwise they want us to clean windows, or if I complain to the agency about the condition, he would say, take a walk or deal with it. So that's why I'm here, to let people know. It doesn't matter if it's home attendant or people who work in the fast food, truck driver, everybody is going through the same situation. So that's why I'm here with these people. And I joined en masse because I was alone. I need somebody to talk to. So that's why.
Well, I think we can get some idea of the blood, sweat, and tears that the kind of work that my sisters do engenders. And the one thing that, amidst the tears, that is a source of rejoicing is the ardor of the organizing of this outstanding organization. And one of the things that's always excited me about En Masse is that it's very multi-generational. You have wonderful women like Joan Charles, and you have the youthful exuberant of many of the people who are here as well. And Joan, we certainly understand what it means to put your life into working for other people, and what it means to struggle for better wages and benefits, which are too tight and too few in coming. Has it been an exhilarating experience working in support of both yourself and also people like Ling Nan as they mobilize to fight for what they deserve as workers?
Yes, the whole, to let the company, not the agency, the company, the bosses, the company who gave you the job, not the agency, the bosses who give you the job. They're supposed to be responsible for the job they gave you. They don't supposed to be running away or hiding behind another person. So that's why we all are here, to let people know and to fight to stop what's going on, because I'm here. I came here. I cannot get my kids. I have no money. I haven't been home to Jamaica for 8 years. I cannot go home.
Well, we're going to try to work very hard, all of us, to make sure that these kinds of conditions change dramatically. And precisely how are they beginning to? What is the struggle, the boycott of Liberty Apparel that has been so abusive? Because we certainly understand the interconnections here. How is that struggle progressing? And we're going to also find out more about why the lawsuit has taken so long. Although, speaking as a lawyer, lawsuits do take too long. But what about the Ain't I a Woman campaign and the boycott?
Well, we've decided to launch a national boycott across the United States to expose what these conditions are doing to people, and that these conditions exist here in the United States. And we know that this lawsuit is taken so long, and Liberty has dragged its heels, and we can't rely just on lawyers and on the legal system to solve the problems, and we need to build pressure not just in the courtroom, but outside of the courtroom, in communities in New York City and beyond, and just show how, you know, Liberty Apparel is so arrogant that they feel that they could sweat people as much as possible, abuse many, many young women, forcing people to send their children back to China and then cut and run and to be left off the hook. And we're here to tell them that that is not going to happen, and that we are going to build broad-based support, not just in New York City, but around the country, to show how that we need to stop these conditions and stop these conditions in the United States, and that we will hold Liberty accountable.
Well, this is also not just about one manufacturer. It's not just about one industry. Like I said before, this is something that's going on throughout all industries throughout the country, meat packers, delivery men, postal workers are even subcontracted. So this boycott is really to let people know that we need to hold all these companies and manufacturers that subcontract accountable. We have to stop them from hiding behind the subcontracting system, to take responsibility, because profit can be made.
You know what you mentioned, and I don't think that we really went into the subcontracting system. How does that work, and how does that sometimes confuse people as to where the responsibility lies?
Well, you have a general contractor who hires a contractor who then in turn hires the actual workers. I mean, if in a garment industry, it would be the manufacturer that hires the factory who hires the workers. I mean, in like something like a delivery person, you have this company that hires this trucking company who hires the driver. So, God forbid the truck driver gets into an accident, something's wrong with the truck, I mean, who's responsible? Or like you have office workers who may get home attendant workers who get injured on the job, who's responsible? The agency will definitely say it's not our fault, it wasn't our actual physical premise, but the actual person who's, the nursing home, for example, will say it's not our fault, we never hired the person.
So they hide behind the manufacturer, and the subcontractor never absorbs the responsibility or assumes the responsibility that they should for their own negligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they just point fingers at each other, and that's it.
Well, time always moves too quickly, and we're going to continue to hear more in the months that come about this very important campaign. But I want to give everybody an opportunity to specifically tell our audience what is important to them, and maybe we should return to Ling Nan, who again is a plaintiff in the Zhang versus Liberty Apparel case. And Ling Nan, what would you like our audience to know about who you are and what your experiences and concerns are as a garment worker? What should they know? What should they do?
I would like to invite everybody to support us, to support our case by joining the boycott campaign.
不要买 Liberty 的衣服.
And I also ask you, as the consumers, do not buy clothing that was manufactured by Liberty.
但是这个案子不是我们的, 只有我们的工厂的呢, 会影响到千千万万的呢工厂.
I also feel like this case not just affects me and my coworkers. It also affects thousands, tens of thousands other working people in other industries.
And Lingnan, your baby is still in China?
Yes.
And also, Joan Charles, we want you to be able to bring your family from Jamaica. What would you like to tell our listeners about your work, yourself, your support of this very important campaign?
I would like to let people out there know what's going on. And the workers who work in factories, home attendant, if they are listening, be aware of what's going on, because it's not very easy to work in people's home, cleaning, cooking, washing, getting abused. And I am fighting with Liberty, and I'm fighting with En Masse to change the system, change everything that's going on.
And our two organizers, Kara and Anna, we're going to let you have the last words, because you are the organizers. So what do people need to do to come out and organize to stop the abusive practices of Liberty, to support the Ain't I a Woman campaign, and as you said earlier, to begin to make this, of course, a national movement to deal with all the wrongs that exist within the sweated labor campaigns, whether it's home care workers, whether it's in the jewelry, the custom jewelry industry, whether it's in the garment industry. Let's start with Anna and then Kata.
Well, I think people really need to let their friends and family know about this, because this affects everyone. So, I mean, one way to really support this case is really not the case, but just the whole anti-subcontracting movement is really just to let people know what's going on, in particular this case. But really just they need to inform themselves, know what their rights are, and do not be afraid to speak up, because it doesn't matter where you're working. If we don't change this, it's going to be the same conditions, just a different workplace, that's all.
And Kara Newton?
We can start with Liberty, the boycott of Liberty Apparel, and if you have an organization or church that you belong to, or as an individual, I encourage you to get involved, endorse this campaign. You can contact us at NMASS, N-M-A-S-S, at yahoo.com, or check out our website at www.nmass.org. And, of course, give us a call at any time at 718-625-9091. We encourage everybody to take that first step and get involved to eliminate these sweatshop conditions here in the U.S.
And they're not kidding when they say any time. These folks are hard workers, hard-working organizer, 24/7. Anna Kang from the Chinese Staff and Workers Association, Lingnan, plaintiff in Zhang versus Liberty Apparel, Kara Newton, organizer of En Masse, and Joan Charles, member of En Masse and home care attendant. You're bright, you're energizing. It is a delight to speak to you, and indeed, ain't we women, and ain't we going to make sure that we get the wages, the benefits, the working conditions that we deserve, because we create the wealth in this country. It has been a pleasure speaking with you. Don't buy Liberty Apparel. And tell Liberty you're not going to. And let's hear a little bit from Pat Humphrey, who has some thoughts about sweated labor also.
We sew the clothes, the ones that you buy. We can't afford them for ourselves, the price is too high. Our families need food, we don't need name brands. We're just like a fair share of the money that's made off of our working hands. We need the right to organize.
You know, you're an organizer. Not everybody realizes that it's not just straight up Liberty Apparel that's the label. So what are the actual labels?
The actual labels are
Goddess
Jeans and Girl Tribe, which both can be found in Conway and Family Dollar stores in New York City.
Okay.
Look out for those.
No sweat and boycott them.
There's lint in the air. Our lungs are on fire. We were behind us.
Pat Humphrey, No Sweat. And back to our sisters from NMAS. One, two, three, four. What are we fighting for?
Boycott Liberty.
And what are those companies, labels?
Goddess Jeans and Girl Child, which can be found in Conway and Family Dollar stores.
So make sure you commit to the boycott, and we'll see you next week. And if you want to get in touch with Building Bridges, you can write Mimi, M-I-M-I, at buildingbridgesonline.org. That's Mimi, buildingbridgesonline.org, and Boycott Liberty Apparel. There's Lindy in the